we open the Lord's word, let us turn to him in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we turn to thee now as we have opened this day of worship in song and in prayer. We turn to thee. May our hearts be filled with the joy and the appreciation for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord and Redeemer, who has broken sin's chains and death's fear. Lord, for thine own, we give thee thanks. We pray, O Lord, that thy Spirit would be with us and open thy word to our hearts, that we might understand, that we might be drawn closer to thee in joy and in love and in faith, that we would seek thy face and to understand thy will for our lives. Lord, we pray thy blessing upon thy word and upon each and every soul, each and every dear soul that thou hast brought into thy house today for worship. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, let us turn to the Word of God as contained in 2 Corinthians. With God's help, I'd like to read from chapter number 2, beginning with verse 14 through chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14.
Brati naša da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz druge poslanice apostola Pavla Korinćanima, druga glava, početak na 14. stihu i tako sa, završetak sa trećom glavom, na kraju treće glave.
Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord has been very good and is good. He has provided for us His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come together on this first day of the week to remember His resurrection and what He has done for us upon the cross in shedding His blood, that we might be saved and that we would be able to partake of the triumph and victory that is in Jesus Christ. And even as we have sung to begin this service, that all praise, all glory, all of the adoration belongs to Jesus Christ and to Him alone, because He has brought this to us. Now thanks be to God, Apostle Paul says. Thanksgiving, may that be upon our hearts and upon our lips, within our minds as we meditate and keep Jesus Christ within our thoughts, as we remember Him as the center of the message of the Word of God to us. Thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. The Lord desires for us to know His will and desires for us to know His intentions and plans for mankind, and has revealed His love. He has revealed His understanding of our need in sending our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who is called the Word of God, the message of God made known to man in flesh. And that message is clear, it is powerful, and it's the message that will be the determining factor for our eternity, how we receive this message, how we receive His word. For Christ Himself said that He came not to judge, but that His word would judge. And this passage of Scripture speaks of a message. It speaks of a letter, something that communicates a message and a word to the world. In every place, it says, to them that are saved and to them that are perishing, to all men, known and read of all men. And that epistle or letter is not written on paper with ink. It's not written on stones and engraven with chisels and hammers. But it's nonetheless a message, and it's a letter, and it's written on fleshy tables of the heart. It's expressed and communicated with the life of the body of Christ, with the life of those that are redeemed, that communicate the message of Jesus Christ and his salvation, of his shed blood, and the peace that he has brought into the life of one who was once lost in sin. A message of triumph through death and dying to self. A path that this world would never seek on its own, but the only way of salvation and the only hope to a world that's lost in sin. It's a knowledge, this letter communicates a knowledge that is higher than the thoughts of men. Even though man pursues degrees of knowledge and education, he puts together all of the intellect of the world together into a collection that can be researched and known. Yet there is a knowledge that is far higher. The knowledge of God that's communicated in Christ Jesus. And God is desiring to make that knowledge known. And Paul writes as much, that the Lord maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. There is a certain flavor to the knowledge of this world, and it is sweet to begin with. But it has a very bitter end, because it is one that's empty. It is one that's temporary. It is one that's not long-lasting. And some are feeling the thrill of the sweetness of those promises from Satan and the world and don't know what we're talking about. And some are facing the bitterness of those empty promises and the harsh reality of the difficulty of life and the pain and the futility of this world and all that it can offer. And yet God offers another way, another flavor, another taste. And it is not something that appeals to men. That bitter cup that Jesus Christ took is not something that appeals to men. That bitter cup of self-denial, of quietness, that bitter cup of missing out on belonging in this world, but being separate and going outside of the world and its ways. That's not often thought of by the world, but that's the savor of the knowledge of God that does not find peace or contentment or rest for the soul in anything that's here below, but finds peace and rest in the promise of God, in the hope of the resurrection, in the comfort of the one who has known our griefs and carried our sorrows, in the one who was tempted just like us and shows us the way of victory. And a sweetness that does not fade away, but grows day by day, as we see his faithfulness at work, as we see the goodness of God and hope to the end of this life for a new life to begin with Christ in eternity. A savor of his knowledge that is to be made known, that is to whet the appetite of those who are without. To seek, who is this Father that these believers pray to, that provides everything that is needful, that fills the heart of this believer with contentment, such that they need no attention from any man, and they desire nothing but the Lord. We are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Unto the Lord, when we are in Christ, we are that well-pleasing son or daughter. And we are not just relating to God, but we also relating to those who are around us, to them that are saved and them that perish. The effect and the letter, as it were, the message that's communicated of our lives and of our hearts is not only to God, but is to those that are in the fellowship of the faith, and is not only extended there, but also to those that perish, those who are outside of the fold of Jesus Christ. And it is to give the savor of his knowledge, a savor of a saving knowledge, to draw men to Christ. And to the one, Paul says, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And then Paul asks a question, and who is sufficient for these things? Why does he ask a question? Why doesn't Paul just explain things and tell us what we need to know that we can understand and read and hear? I believe that there is a need for us not just to hear, not just to read and to be have things explained to us, but to think about the question and what it means. Who is sufficient for these things? Who is enough to be a message of God and of his savor, to be a message of Christ to a world that is in need of a savior? Who is enough that they can say that their life is a savor of death unto death to some, but a savor of life unto others? Do we understand and appreciate the great influence, the great consequences of this letter, of this message that God intends for his children to carry out, and what its impact and potential is? For some, it will be death unto death. And for others, it will be life unto life. For some, they see the message of Christ and of his death and suffering, and they see loss. It doesn't make sense. There is something missing. And they turn away, saying, that's nothing. There's nothing to that. And for others, they will see hope. They will be drawn to the Lord by the light and the salt that is savoring, that is showing the way to Jesus Christ. Who can stand and say, yeah, I can do that? I'm really comfortable with that position of being an impact that might lead someone to the responsibility and accountability of judgment or others to know and to seek the Lord and find salvation in Him. It's a humbling thought. Because we are not sufficient. We do not bring great wisdom or strength. We do not bring great ability to this mission, to this task of being this letter. How much should it humble us? Who is sufficient for these things? Did you think about the example that you lead and recognize that if we come short, do we risk being an offense to a little one? What great consequence is there for those who observe, for those who we may cause to stumble? How important is it for us to stay close to our Savior? How important is it that we be a message that would be consistent, that we would tell the same story day in and day out? That we would be in a position to represent the Lord, to speak His word, that will be the thing that determines a soul's eternity? What savor do I bring? What knowledge am I bringing up? The knowledge of God, the knowledge of the world, and who am I in light of this great task? Who is sufficient for these things? How many tasks in our life do we find that we fall short? Do we find that we have failed? Or we see things spiraling out of control. And we realize how little we are. This perhaps may speak to you, speaks particularly to those who love someone, who love someone and care about their soul, who are concerned about someone's life, about their destination for eternity, about their direction in life, and where they are headed, and how God can use us as a message of God for His purpose, as a parent, this question often comes up because the task is so great. Because the love is so strong and our abilities, what we bring to the table comes so far short. And we wonder who can help. And it's humbling. And it doesn't make us proud. It doesn't make us boast. It doesn't make us feel good about ourselves. It makes us realize our need. And that may be some of the best work of God. To bring a man and a woman to their knees, where they see not how great things we can do and how we know everything that we're supposed to do, but how much do we need the Lord? You know, if our life is just about being seen of men and showing that we know what to do, you know, there's very little importance there. But if our life is going to have an impact on someone's eternity, then our life and our heart and where we are spiritually makes a very big difference. And we cannot hide it. It will be revealed. The things that are in our hearts and who we are will be seen and will be read of all men. Paul says, do we begin to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You know, a letter of commendation is a letter of approval and speaking well of someone. Paul says there's no need for this. There's no need for somebody to, for us to have somebody look at us and say, he's got it all put together. And look at him, wonderful person. No, we are before God. We are demonstrating the wisdom and the impact that he has in our life with all sincerity. As he says in the last verse of chapter 2, but as of sincerity, as of God, and in the sight of God speak we in Christ. There is nothing hidden of our message. There's no substitute for our message. We cannot take a letter of somebody or somebody's review of our life and substitute a true faith, a true trust and dependence upon the Lord. We are not, he says, as many which corrupt the word of God. That's a sobering thought. To think of the word of God as being something that a man can corrupt. Something that man could obscure. And I believe that this potential that we have should make us cautious and work within us an attitude about the Word of God. And even as we sung, that we bring all praise, all hail the power of Jesus' name, that we glorify and magnify the Word of God and not ourselves, and that the Word of God in its truth would be declared. But how weak and how unable we are, how insufficient we are of ourselves for this task, how insufficient it is to put a substitute for obedience as the letter of commendation, as it were, for our lives. He says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You're the letter. You're the letter that is being sent out, read and known and read of all men. Nothing hidden, but clear. Just another connection with parenting. The kids, they do see our lives. They do see us on a daily basis. They do hear the commands that we give them, the instructions, and then they see also the way we put them into practice. The world knows. The world knows what it means to be genuine And they are looking for something because they cannot find it in this world. Even Christ has said that the world will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have one to another. This is part of the letter. This is part of the epistle that's written, that's known and read of all men, that men are looking for, that savor of fellowship, that savor of faithfulness, that savor of genuine walk with the Lord. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts. In some measure, the Apostle Paul is speaking of the church in Corinth. And the spiritual condition of a body of believers here is speaking that it's connected with what is written in Paul's heart. Spiritual maturity of a body of believers is going to be the fruit of what is in our hearts. So the personal commitment to purity, the personal surrender unto the will of God, the personal application of seeking the Lord and His will is having a public expression within the church. And it would seem that that's a fruit. It's a fruit of where we are and who we are. And Apostle Paul speaks the word of hope. This is a great calling that we've been called to, and we've considered the question, who is sufficient for these things? We should recognize that we are not of our own capable to even begin. But the beautiful message is the trust that we have through Christ towards God. Such trust have we through Christ to Godward. This is the kind of trust that Apostle Paul is preaching about. Because we can have a faith that is merely an agreement with the things that Paul explains. But such trust have we to God through Christ. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. The sort of trust that the Bible is exhorting us to is not a faith that is mere understanding, but a trust that is humble and completely reliant upon the Lord. The one that considers the question, who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient to do the work of God? Our faith is that a soul that is trusting fully in God, who finds sufficiency, who finds enough, who finds that what God has provided in Christ Jesus our Lord, in His death upon the cross and in His resurrection, that is the life that we would pursue. That we believe so much to the extent that our lives are conformed. Not so much that we agree and that we know something that's true and that we're glad about it, but we believe so much that we also follow. Follow and take up our cross as Jesus Christ has called us. And there is a savor to that that we need to recognize. Some of the joy the pleasure, the satisfaction of that walk of life is not for now, but is awaiting. It's something that we look forward to. But we apply ourselves in faith and we believe now. Now is the believing. But then, when the Lord returns and when he separates his own by his word to life and some to death, there will be a glorious inheritance. And it is not by the works that we have done, but by his grace that is sufficient for our needs, that is so sufficient for us that we don't seek the praise of men, that we don't seek to have the attention of someone else, that it adds nothing to our life to be noticed, but simply to be servants. And it is God himself who makes us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The message of God, the message of the gospel, the message of the new birth through the Spirit of God and his working. This is what brings life. This is what fills our life. May we take it to heart. May we remember the high calling. And may we also remember the great wealth of supply. For God has promised that he would supply all of our needs through Jesus Christ, our Lord. May that be our hope and our dependence and our trust and our confidence as we go out to be his letter to this world. Amen.